Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tuesday afternoon, September 30th, the last day of September. Tomorrow, October 1st. Halloween decorations are already out everywhere. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Once again, we have a lot to talk about today, and we'll do the best we can to get to all of it. Sometimes we promote that we're going to talk about something, and the show takes on a life of its own and we don't get to it, but we'll always get to it the next day or so. So I wrote a blog about something that we talked about yesterday, and it's on the WWL.com website. Should also be on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, where I encourage you to comment on it. Watch the video, comment on it, or read the blog. Actually, the video is about something else. The video is about the show. The video, and you can comment on that. I'm going to share some of your comments about that. But the video I did yesterday after the show is about this show. And I encourage you to actually watch the video and not react to the headline. I can tell by a lot of the reactions that people just read the headline. And you look kind of foolish when you do that, because quite often you say something that is covered in the video. So I encourage you to actually view the videos. They're never that long. And so, check that out. I will share some of the comments on the show today. And I think also posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook is the blog that I wrote yesterday. And you can read the blog and also comment on that. It's about Bad Bunny being the Super Bowl halftime show. And a lot of people are not happy with that. Bad Bunny is from Puerto Rico, and he basically sings in Spanish. And a lot of people feel like that this is not American enough. Ken Paxton, the attorney general for the state of Texas, says he's not patriotic enough to be the halftime show for the Super Bowl. Well, I mean, I understand what he's saying, but I don't know that we check the patriotism of every performer that performs at the halftime show. So that was an interesting thing that he said. But, he has to say that for his voters. He has to say that for the people that he's trying to attract so he, wins elections. So it's all about politics. But, as I've said, and I said this last year when Kendrick Lamar was the halftime show, I don't think we should expect every halftime show to be the genre of music that we're most into. There's just a wide variety of people. And as I mentioned yesterday, and as I mentioned in the blog, the NFL is really trying to create this global image. And Bad Bunny is huge with Spanish-speaking people around the world. So this is part of the NFL's attempt to broaden its appeal, because they want to sell merchandise. They want to continue to promote the image of the NFL around the world. And, Bad Bunny might bring people to that. Now, frankly, I can't imagine, but I guess people could do it. I can't imagine not caring anything about the Super Bowl, and the only reason you tune in is because of the halftime show. But I'm sure there are people that do that. I remember having conversations on the air years ago about people who, they didn't care about the game, and they would just sit there, and everything was geared around watching the halftime show. So I guess there are people who do that. But he was a controversial selection, although there have been controversial selections in the past. Anyway, we'll get to some of those comments, but that's also on WWL.com and Scoot on the Air Facebook. So you've heard in the news that Governor Landry is officially requesting that the Louisiana law enforcement get the help of the National Guard. He's officially asked for the National Guard to come here, made that request with the President of the United States. So I guess they're coming. Now, some people are for it, some people are against it. Look, if something can really help cut down crime, even though crime is down, then, I'm for that. But I think we should be concerned about this venture toward a national police force that is at the whim of the president of the United States, whoever that president might be. And the city of Portland, city that, of course, you know, I'm very close to because I was on the air there and my son and his family live there. And I spend a lot of time, you know, going back there. Portland, you know, has like, you know, no problems downtown. But the National Guard has been set in and the state of Oregon is suing the president over this. So, you know, it's a controversial thing. Let's see if it really does, if it really does help out. Also, coming up in the next hour, Inside New Orleans Magazine is doing a feature on what it means to be a gentleman. Are you a gentleman? Do you open doors for women? If you're in an elevator, do you let the woman get out of the elevator first before you get out? I mean, basically, are you a gentleman? Do you open car doors for women? And how do younger generations feel about this, like Gen X, millennials, and even Gen Z? You know, in this time of equality, do women think that if you're a gentleman, do they think that this is somehow putting you in a subservient position for men to do these things for you? Do women not like that? Do baby boomer women not like that anymore? Have times changed, or do you still like somebody to be a gentleman? And is the person in your life a gentleman? If you get married, do you like not worry about being a gentleman anymore? You're very much a gentleman when you're dating because you're trying to, you know, hook the fish. But I know that's kind of a crude way to put it. But you're dating, you're trying to, you know, get the person's attention. And then after you get married, you're no longer a gentleman. Does that change? We're going to talk about that in the next hour, and we'll have a couple of guests in our studio to talk about that. Brandon Ingram is no longer with the Pelicans. He's with the Toronto Raptors, and he is criticizing Pelicans fans for their lack of attendance at games. Is that a fair shot at Pelicans fans? We'll talk about that. I think it's a fair shot because, you know, look, I have to admit, I'm part of the problem. I mean, I love the NBA. And I really got into the NBA when I lived in other cities like San Antonio, Portland, Denver. But really, mainly, you know, San Antonio and Portland, those are the only major franchises they have, is the NBA. So there's more focus. The focus on the NBA team is like the focus on the Saints here. Now, we have both, but we don't really support the Pelicans like I think we should as a city. So we're going to talk about that this afternoon. Also, YouTube has paid $24.5 million to settle a lawsuit with the president because they suspended his account after the January 6th attack, and they say they shouldn't have done that. So they settled a lawsuit for $24.5 million. So that's a big victory for the president. Let's see. What else? Toys R Us. Toys R Us used to be on Veterans Highway. Toys R Us is opening up a holiday shop in Lakeside Shopping Center. It's going to be a pop-up shop located next to our house and Dillard's. So it's toward the Severn end of Lakeside Shopping Center. It's a big area there, and they're going to open up there. So that's kind of cool. And, you know, this is sad, but let's give this person an identity. There was a shooting on Bourbon Street over the weekend, the 200 block of Bourbon Street. Three people were injured and one person was killed. And 33-year-old Jessica Williams is the woman who was killed. Actually, I think this is now being reported in the 100 block of Bourbon Street, which is that first block of Bourbon off of Canal. And this this woman who was killed apparently was just celebrating her birthday hours earlier, and she was shot and killed. When you look at the number of incidents that have happened in that first block of Bourbon Street, the city and NOPD should do more on a continuous basis. When there are big events in town, they bring in the big lights. They set up the big lights at different blocks on Bourbon Street, and it's always in that first block, too. They set up the big lights. That first block of Bourbon Street, you know, there's two businesses on the corner, and then you've got Crystal Hamburgers a little bit in, and then you've got the Hustler Shop a little bit in, and then you've got stuff on the corner. So there are areas of that first 100 block of Bourbon Street that don't have any businesses, and so it's a place to post up. It's a place to hang out. It tends to be a little darker. And so I would think with the number of incidents that take place in that first block of Bourbon, that more would be done every night. I mean, don't assume that something is just going to happen on a weekend. But I think that area should be lit up every single night. And maybe police should be in that block. You know, there are other blocks that are problems, but, you know, I think more needs to be done in that first block of Bourbon Street. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870, 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer. He's at the controls in that studio right over there. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you two as well. I was at the gym this morning.
And good for
I
thought,
you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to some Bad Bunny. Because I know that Bad Bunny exists. I know
See?
Who he is, but I've never, like, you know, intentionally listened
right.
to his music for more than a couple of moments. So I listened to the new album that we played a little bit from yesterday. And, I mean, I like it. I like the vibe. It's clearly, it's pretty sophisticated musically, really. You know, not just the recording, but, you know, stylistically, it's Latin music.
Yeah.
And they've done a nice job with it. It's got a great vibe, and it's you know, really kind of, I'm up there, you know, pumping iron and kind of rocking out. But you can't understand anything he says if you don't speak any Spanish.
See.
And I knew that going in. I was like, well, he's not in a language that I speak, so it's not going to be a lot on the bone for me in that regard. But then I kind of went a level further, and I was like, well, how much of Kendrick Lamar does anyone really understand on a first listen? You know, like a lot of rap music, if you don't have an ear for it and it's not a thing that you listen to a lot and you don't have the lyrics in front of you, it's pretty easy to just kind of enjoy the music or not enjoy the music. But, you know, you don't really have to understand every single syllable that's being rapped in order to kind of understand what the vibe of the song is.
See?
So I thought, you know, I don't know. Is he going to do an all Spanish halftime show?
See?
That would be kind of weird. You know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of other things happening on the screen that'll be interesting anyway. So, I don't know. We'll all find out together, I guess.
Sí, yo comprende.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mucho comprende.
Mucho comprende.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, but, you know.
I don't know. I mean, he might throw in an English song, but I think most of it's going to be Spanish because that's what he does.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
That's how he goes.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you don't like it, it's okay. As I said yesterday, you know, the band or the artist that you think is the absolute best, if that person's performing, there are an equal number of people who are not going to like that person.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we get a little egotistical when we get insulted that the Super Bowl halftime show isn't targeting us. You know, it's like, wait, there's somebody else in the world other than me? You mean somebody has a taste in music that's different from mine? You know, we tend to, you know, think that everybody likes what we like. I guarantee you, I like a lot of stuff that I know a lot of our listeners don't like. But, you know, that's okay. They like stuff that I don't necessarily like.
Soothsayer Sam is listening, and he texts in and he says, "What are the words to La Bamba?" You know what I mean? Like, that's exactly what I'm talking about, Sam. Nobody knows what the words to La Bamba are.
No, and that was
but that doesn't mean we don't appreciate it.
Right. Open up, play a little bit of that right
now.
You
want me to play La Bamba?
Yeah, because La Bamba, I mean, the song, I think it hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 charts, Richie Valens, and it was a Spanish song, and they were telling him, this will never work. It's a Spanish folk song, and, you know, here it is.
Okay, we know that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, maybe we know that part, but then he gets into the verse. Nobody knows this.
Yeah, I think he's after a chick or something.
Like
arriba, arriba. Yeah, so I mean, this was a big deal when this was number one. So, you know, and that's, you know, the baby boomers supported that. That was part of their generation. So, you know, people are just so sensitive today that if something isn't directed to me, if it's directed to somebody else, and you know, I guess it's a case of people feeling left out. And they don't want to feel left out. I don't want something that I don't get on TV or on the radio or on podcast. I don't want something on there that I don't understand that's not for me, because it makes me feel like I'm left out.
People don't want to be reminded, or not even reminded. People do not want it suggested that they are not the center of the cultural universe anymore.
I mean, we know we are, but you and I are. For everybody else.
Either you're gonna, if you don't care about Bad Bunny, you don't like Bad Bunny, you're either gonna ignore the halftime show or you're gonna hate it. But there is a third option for you, which is to just relax, let it wash over you, don't get upset, you know, see if you can see, maybe expand your mind a little bit and ask yourself this: what is it about this that appeals to so many tens of millions of people around the globe? He is the second most streamed artist on the planet behind Taylor Swift. If you're not familiar with his music, it's not because he's obscure or he's not popular. It's just, it's not designed for you to consume it. So just kind of expand your mind a little bit, relax, put both your feet flat on the floor, take a deep breath in, put your hands on your knees, take a deep breath out, and just watch the 20-minute halftime show, and then have an extra Miller Lite and an extra couple of chicken wings, and the world will keep on turning.
Would that be like a Miller Un Poco? You know, Miller Lite, Little Miller.
Un Poquito.
Miller Lite. Miller Un Poquito.
You're going to have to ask the Spanish speaker.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay, listen. Yeah, we got a lot to get. Let's go to break with the Bad Bunny song. What is it? Nuvelo?
Nueva Yol.
Buenas tardes. Son las 1:20. I think. All right. I'm Scoot on the air. This is Bad Bunny. And you know, I think a lot of people are going to tune into that halftime show just out of curiosity. They don't know anything about him. They're going to be very curious. So I think a lot of people are going to be tuning into that halftime show just to check it out. All right, we'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WL. And just remember, with, you know, all the troubles in the world and all the tension and the things that we deal with, just take time to realize it's a beautiful day. You know, a little warm, I know, for this time of year, but it's still a nice day. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad you're with us. You know, when these government shutdown threats happen, I consistently say it's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. The government's not going to shut down. But, you know, I think there's a better chance now that in the past that the government's going to shut down. And this will be the first time in 7 years. And there are all these threats, and both sides threaten each other. And this is a Republican and Democrat problem. And, you know, neither side really wants to work together to make this happen. And, you know, one side blames the other side blames this side. But the point is that you and I are the ones that are going to suffer if there's a government shutdown. But how much are we going to suffer? I mean, what if the government shuts down? How is this going to affect our daily lives? Dr. Jim Richardson is a professor emeritus of economics at LSU, and Dr. Richardson joins us on WWL. Doctor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Good. So, what for the average citizen, what does a shutdown look like? What happens if the government shuts down?
Well, at first, if it's a day or two or even a week, you really won't notice very much. But the real element is it affects each individual differently, obviously. If you're a government employee, then there is, at least at some point, if it stays long enough, there's a lack of a paycheck coming in. It will be made up later on, but for the time being, it will be a lack of a paycheck, and that applies to military people, that applies to federal workers. It does not apply to postal workers. They have a different budget unit.
Okay.
So you have, certainly you have that, and that affects those families very greatly. If it's only a week, it doesn't show very much. If it's a month or a little bit longer, I think in 2019, I believe it was 38 days, then it starts rippling through. So I think that's the first element, those people. Then you have certain services. Obviously, if you're getting Social Security, that's not going to stop. That will keep coming through. If you are applying for it, it may slow you down because you can't do it. It also, you have a number of people who are going to be working, such as TSA people at airports, but without pay, at least until the shutdown is over and they get back pay. So you have you have odd things like that. And if you're going to a national park, don't expect it to be well kept at this time, because those people will not be there. Probably most of the workers will not be there. So you have a variety of things going on that will show up. And if it's a short one, it won't be a big, we won't notice it as individual for the most part.
Now, Professor, so the federal workers, I mean, will they actually, if they have an office job, will they actually go into work and do their job? I know there's some federal workers who will continue working, like the military and TSA, but will all federal workers go back into the office and work without pay for the time being?
No, it will be depending on what unit they're in. In certain situations, they will go in and work without being paid. And that depends, I think, like FEMA, I think they will keep working. If you have other elements like that, typically things that are more law enforcement or things of that nature, they will have to go into their jobs, and they will then they will not get paid. And that could probably apply to the State Department, things of that nature. For other ones, it will not apply, like if you were going into maybe a Department of Education, Department of Health and Human Resources, that it may not apply, and they may not be able to come in.
So, but they're being paid, so you'd think that they would be continuing their job since they're, as soon as the strike is, or the shutdown is over, they're mm-hmm. going to get paid, so you'd think that they would be required to continue to do their jobs.
Yeah. Well, they are... That's part of the shutdown, is that they aren't going to do certain jobs, even though they will be paid. Now, I think right now in this situation, with the element of the parties fighting each other, and the president says, I'm going to use this to not just have people shut down for a day, I'm going to lay them off. Well, that becomes a bigger question then for them, of course, and also for the services that they're providing and the work they're providing, what happens there. So that's the unknown, because we really don't know exactly how they would go about doing that.
All right, so you're saying that if the government shuts down and there are certain non-essential federal workers who don't go into the office and don't work, the president might say, well, let's just lay these people off.
Well, at least that's been rumored. I cannot tell you if they have any type of real plan for that, but if they could.
Yeah. Is that a threat?
On one hand, it's a threat, yeah. Possibly. On the other, maybe I want to do this. I can't read their minds.
Yeah. Well, it just seems like this is just so political, because if both sides really wanted to work together and settle this, I mean, it seems like they could. And it just seems like this is a political game.
Well, I think it always, and every time there's a shutdown, it is a political game. I mean, you had one during Clinton's administration. You had one during Trump's first administration. You had one, I think, under Obama in 2013. But it's always a matter of one side does not have enough votes to do everything they want to do.
Yeah.
So they have to depend on the other side to do that, to help them out. And then then you have the battles. And so, it's a political issue primarily, but a political issue becomes an economic issue at some point.
All right, Professor, what is this? What impact does this have on the overall economy? Is there any kind of lasting impact on the economy in general if there's a government shutdown?
I would say a lasting one, no, unless it's, I mean, obviously if it carries on long enough, it could. But a lasting one, no. I think it may, for there are research projects going on right now, which will be delayed. That will postpone anything that might come from that research project. So you have some delays, but will it be a permanent thing, a permanent destruction? No, it won't do that, okay, unless it just goes on and on and on, right, which I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I doubt that, too. I think if this does happen, it's going to be brief, and you know, both sides are going to try to gain political equity out of this, and once they feel like they've gotten what they've gotten out of it, then they'll figure out a way to settle it, and I just feel like we're the pawns in the game that they're playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and of course, that's always the case. And I think, like I say, for most of us, you won't, unless somebody tells you it's happened, you won't know it happened.
Yeah.
At least where you are. But you will know because you're talking on the radio.
Right.
People will tell you it happened.
But I'm not gonna feel it.
You aren't gonna feel it. No, you're not gonna feel it. And if your parents are getting Social Security checks, they're gonna get their check. Now, if you are applying for Social Security, you will feel it. It will be a delay. Now, it will be permanent? No, but it'll be a short-term delay.
What about people who are waiting for passports?
That could be a big delay. And that's where it gets really personal, because if you are in line to get a passport, then, and you need that passport, then it could be a delay which will be, could cost you something.
Yeah. I mean, people plan trips around, I'm going to get my passport at least by this time, and I've got this trip planned, and what if they can't make the trip because they don't have the passport? That could be a financial problem.
That could be a problem. That could be an issue which they have no control. Your travel agent has no control. It's a matter of there is a shutdown, and that part of the government is not doing anything right now.
Yeah. Professor, we don't always have somebody who is a professor in economics on the air. So just let me ask you this just general question. How is the economy? And when it comes to inflation and things like that, isn't it true that the president, whoever the president is, really doesn't have that much direct control over things like inflation?
Well, I think in terms of inflation, and if they push an expansionary budget of some sort, it could affect the inflation rate. Certainly, it would be a policy. But it doesn't happen all in one day, that's for sure. I think in this situation right now, rising prices will be more affected by the presidential activities because of all the tariffs that he is suggesting. And they're very substantial tariffs, too, that we have not typically had. That will not be over a long, long time period. Prices will rise, though, which they have done. They will stay at the higher prices. And then in this situation, I think you can say the president and his policy certainly has an impact. Now, he may say there are other good things about it happening, too. But in terms of the price index, that will cause it to go up, and has.
All right, Dr. Jim Richardson, professor of economics at LSU, thank you so much for spending time with us. I appreciate your expertise.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, professor. Yeah, we don't often have a professor of economics on the show. I felt like really an official talk show host when I was talking to the professor. So, look, the good news is if there is a government shutdown, chances are you're not going to really feel it. Over time, I mean, if you're a federal worker, there are going to be things that are going to affect you. But if you're not a federal worker, you're really not going to notice any big changes. But like if you're waiting for a passport, it may take longer. Social Security is going to still flow. So there are going to be some things that will happen. But again, I go back to this idea that you and I are pawns. And this is a game the politicians play to try, you know, the whole goal is, and I guess this is what bothers me most, and I know it bothers you too. These politicians, they're more interested in advancing their political image for them and for the party than they are in doing what's in the best interest of the American people. if they're doing the work that is in the best interest of the American people, both sides would come together and compromise, and there would be no government shutdown. And maybe there won't be a government shutdown, but at this point, I think it's scheduled for 12:01 this morning, as soon as Wednesday begins. The government shutdown will take place then. Even though I have not felt this in the past, I have a feeling that there may be a brief shutdown. And it's because of the bravado. I'm going to tell you this, and you know, I know if you're on one side or the other, you're going to think, no, it's the other side. But the bravado comes from both sides, and they're both trying to position themselves to advance their political image and their political equity and to make the other side look bad. And you and I are the ones, I mean, even though we're not going to like suffer immediately, you and I are the ones that are going to, you know, take the hit of inconvenience, or if it goes on for a long time, which I don't think it will, you know, we're the ones that are going to be affected over time. And it's their political game. They're playing the game, and they're playing the game against each other to use this opportunity to make the other side look bad. That's more important than doing what's in the best interest of the American people. And as an American, I resent that. All right, early voting in New Orleans is happening. And it's happening in 30 parishes around the state. So if you are prone to vote early, get out and vote early. And this will early voting is going to go on. It's closed on Sunday, but it goes on Monday through Saturday, October the 4th. And then Election Day is October the 11th. If you don't vote early, I hope you are planning to vote. It is very important that you vote, because we know what happens if you don't vote. All right. So the governor has requested National Guard troops come to New Orleans. How do you feel about that? You want the National Guard here? You think it's going to be a good thing? If you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. It's a nice looking Tuesday afternoon, and we'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On WWL. Okay, not yet, but soon. This song has a relationship with Katrina. Yeah, this was a part of the whole reflection of this comeback from Katrina.
Yeah, and this album came out the year before Katrina hit, and they dropped this single a little bit after. Yeah. You know, I think it was probably right around August or September 2005. So yeah. We were here and it was very hot. And well, there it is.
Yeah. And it was about just, you know, yeah. I mean, wake me up when this disaster's over. But we'll wake you up when September ends. Not quite yet, but we're getting pretty close. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. Stephen Colbert last night was talking about the National Guard being sent into Portland. And he said that they're even doing a movie about the National Guard in Portland called Full Flannel Jacket, which is pretty funny. They wear a lot of flannel in Portland and Seattle. So our governor, Jeff Landry, apparently was on Fox News last night, and he sent a letter to officially request the Defense Department activate 1,000 Louisiana National Guardsmen paid for by the federal government, but Landry would have control over the Louisiana National Guardsmen. They'll be on duty from now until the end of the fiscal year, 2026. If I'm not mistaken, the national fiscal year comes to an end in July. So it would be from now until July. The governor said Louisiana currently faces a convergence of elevated violent crime rates in Shreveport, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans, coupled with critical personnel shortages with local law enforcement, and he believes the National Guard are necessary. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. So let's sound off on this. How do you feel about the National Guard coming to New Orleans, coming to Louisiana? You know, I think the biggest problem that Shreveport has is Bossier City, but I don't know if you can just get rid of Bossier City. I mean, if you could build a wall there, that might help Shreveport. Baton Rouge, there's some rough areas of Baton Rouge, and we know there, you know, there's crime in New Orleans. It's gotten a lot better, but we still have crime. But how do you feel about the National Guard coming to New Orleans and our state? Let's go to the North Shore. JR, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
I want to make a comment about the National Guard. There's pros and cons to this. I have 25 years of experience of law enforcement in the metro area, and I've worked with the National Guard on disasters and other things. And so they bring with them, you know, money and equipment and certain expertise as far as, you know, that goes. But as far as boots on the ground, that's just a temporary fix, okay? We had a federal grant years ago, and we went to a high crime area with that money, and we put extra police on there and task force and stuff like that, and we reduced crime in half in that area. But guess what? When the money ran out and the overtime ran out and those people got pulled from those areas, it went right back to the norm that was before.
Yeah. So this is not a fix. It's a temporary solution.
Absolutely. Absolutely, a temporary solution.
JR, let me ask you this though. You know, I think most of us get the image of the National Guard troops being in the French Quarter, downtown New Orleans, in that area. But there's crime in New Orleans East. Will the National Guard be in New Orleans East or in different parishes outside of the city?
Well, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. The crime in New Orleans East and in other areas of the city, I know they want to do a show of force. They want to make it look good with all the National Guard people in the French Quarter and this, that, and the other. And that's fine. But, you know, these people aren't trained for this. You know, they'll be teamed up with regular police officers, and that can free up some of the police officers doing other duties. When I was there, we used to use the National Guard for intelligence and all the equipment they brought with them. You know, you had guys in that were, you know, full-time jobs, National Guard people. And what they did was allowed other police officers that didn't have to do that job and allowed them to go on the street or whatever.
I see.
There is a pro for it right there.
Yeah.
But like I said, if they take that money, and they dropped a figure the other day of like $1 million a day in Washington, just think what the city of New Orleans could do with that kind of money. I mean, I know that's not a true figure, but any money, you know, would help out.
Sure.
And police officers down here, they're trained. They know what they're doing. Now, there is a shortage, a severe shortage. When I was there, we had twice the amount of police officers you have right now. We still had a crime problem. So, yeah, I give them credit for doing what they can with what they've got right now. They've done a great job. Like I said, the National Guard, it's more of a show of force right there, but it's just a temporary fix. It's a band.
But they are going to do, when you talked about the jobs that they'll do, they will do jobs that will allow, like, the actual police officers, local law enforcement, to go out on the street and do things that they're not able to do because they're stuck doing other things?
Yeah, but what I would do is, and I was a former supervisor, but we call them a force multiplier. Mm-hmm. In other words, I could take a National Guard and put him in a car with a police officer, and the police officer would do everything. The National Guard would just be there for the backup.
Yeah. All right, JR, listen, I appreciate your expertise, and thanks for calling the show. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll continue this conversation. If you are at home, if you're in your car, if you are in a cubicle, if you're wherever you are, if you're working, thanks for being with us while you're working. All right. If you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to get to more of your texts and more of your calls coming up. We've got more to get to next hour, but I want to continue this conversation a little bit longer about the National Guard coming to New Orleans and Louisiana. Also, Brandon Ingram, who used to be with the Pelicans, is now with the Toronto Raptors. He's bashing Pelicans fans. Does he have a right to do that? Well, he has a right to do it, but was that the right thing to do? Is it justified to bash Pelicans fans? We'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Scoot on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.